Welcome back to all our listeners, and I have been looking forward to speaking to our guest because she has such an amazing and powerful testimony that she would share with you today. And I'm talking about a wife, a mom, an ordained minister, and she has her own podcast, and I'm talking about none other than Miss Audrey Dutton. How are you, Audrey?
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. I'm great.
Yes, thank you for the privilege of being a guest in our show, but I only mentioned a little bit about you or the basics. So can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. A little bit more about what I do and who I am right now in my life.
Yeah, okay. Who you are right now.
Well, something else that me and my husband do is that we rent out a tiny house and we have a permaculture farm. It's really small and it's just for forestry and gardening, but we have a house of refuge there, or our tiny house is a house of refuge in our tiny house. And then that money funds it being a place of refuge for domestic violence victims or people who are trying to start over in life and get away from, you know, drug addiction, lifestyle, and those types of things. They're able to come out to our place and get away from the city, and we're able to minister to them and pray with them and help them be in a safe place. And then I homeschool my three kids, and me and my husband, we both just love to minister together and encourage people in their identity in Christ. So we're really passionate about activating people in the gifts of the Spirit and helping them to really understand how much they are loved, and understanding the Bible in the context of, you know, what it's been given to us for.
That is so amazing. And I love how you and your husband are working together, doing ministry together, and bless your heart for homeschooling three kids. That's a lot of work, but great job on doing all of it. And as our listeners know, we normally ask our guests, when did they first accept Christ as their personal Savior? And for some of you that have been following us for a while, you also know that we also have past guests who were former atheists. But what is so different about you, about your story, is that you are not only an atheist, but you are also a satanic atheist. So my question is, what changed from your former belief to now being a devoted follower of Christ? So what happened? What made you change your belief from who you were to who you are now?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So I grew up with my mom being a single mom mostly, even though she was married to my dad, but it was because he was in and out of prison my whole life for hardcore drug addiction. And so we would move around a lot. I moved too many times. I've lost count. I can't even count. I tried counting at one point and I got up to almost 40. So yeah, just all over the place. And my mom was into witchcraft and the occult. And so I grew up watching a lot of those types of things. I was able to watch anything that I wanted to. I was exposed to a lot of dark things when my mom was gone at work. You know, I would find things and watch them, and go to other people's houses and watch things that I shouldn't. And then I think just through all the pain of being let down by my dad, my parents, and just the unhealthy environments that I was living in constantly, and being subjected to the occult and stuff, I heard all these stories of like supernatural encounters that people had with the occult, but it never happened to me. I mean, I tried. I had friends who claimed that they would have these out-of-body experiences. They claimed that they were reincarnated souls of vampires living in modern society, and like they could finish each other's sentences and say all these things. And even though I thought that it was really weird, there was still this sense of longing to belong to something, you know, that I can't really see with my tangible eyes, but I could feel it and operate in it. And I kind of felt that way ever since I watched the Matrix movie when I was 10 years old. It just really anchored in me that we are a part of something bigger than what we are aware of. What is that, you know? And so for years I searched, I tried Wicca, I tried all these different things. Well, nothing ever happened for me. So I basically just ended up becoming an atheist, but I was gothic. I liked really dark things. I wore images of Satan on my clothes. I did pentagrams and upside down crosses on my artwork and on my clothing and everything. But I strive to be a good person. Because of growing up around the drug addiction, and my mom partied a lot as well, I did not ever want to become addicted to cigarettes, partying, drinking, even sex. Like I didn't want to get into those things. I didn't want them to have a bondage over me like I grew up seeing them have on my parents. And so for that reason is where the Satanism part comes in, because if you look up Satanism, you'll see that there are a few different kinds, but the most mainstream type of Satanism are people who are actually just atheists, but they live by these tenets that, are like a moral code, basically, where they just are in agreement that we're all, going to treat people civil, but you do you. And they're very big into activism, but they don't actually worship Satan. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Satan as an actual entity. And so neither did I, but I definitely looked satanic. And I loved anything to do with that side of religion, I guess, just because I was so anti-Christianity. To me, it was very boring, and the Christians in my life never talked about miracles, signs and wonders, or the power of God. And so the only time they really talked about God was when some big catastrophe happened in the world and they said God was judging, this place. And so to me, that just seemed very messed up. And they would pray when they were going through a problem. And to me, that felt like that's weakness, like they're just saying they believe in a God because they don't believe in themselves, or they have to lean on this fantasy Jesus to make them feel better about their lives. So yeah, I was pretty anti-Christian, and but I tried to still be civil and nice, and yeah. And then I moved out after I graduated high school. I was in a very my the relationship I was in became very abusive, and I became suicidal. We both kind of did because we fought all the time. And then one of my best friends asked if he could come and visit me. And we had known each other for years, and I had actually loved him, but we never were able to be together because every time he was with somebody or wasn't with somebody, I was with somebody. Well, then he said he wanted to come see me. And then me and this other guy got in a huge fight, and I was about to kill myself. I locked myself in my bathroom with a gun, and before I could bring myself to do it, I was reminded that my friend was about to come and see me. And I just felt this like peace wash over me. And so in that moment, I just knew like I'm just going to be done with this guy. Like I can be done with him. And I had gone to church a few times at this point. For a few months leading up to this, I only went because one of my coworkers had invited me to go with her and, oh, well, her and her fiance. And they both were pretty weird, pretty weird people. They dressed weird. And we went to this church, and it was pretty punk rock. A lot of people had tattoos and piercings and stuff, so I felt accepted there. And I thought it was interesting. They talked about miracles, they talked about angels and demons and the supernatural, and I had never heard of Christians talking about those things. I had only heard of like my mom and her friends just talking about it with the occult and things like that. So I had gone a few times, and I had started to feel convicted about me and the guy I was living with sleeping together. And that's what caused this huge fight. Anyways, so when I felt this peace wash over me and I realized I can break up with him and I don't have to stay with this guy, I did. And then my other friend showed up. His name was Eric, and he was in the army. And I had always said, and I don't know why, since I was an atheist, I said that if anything happened with that bad relationship I was in, I said that I would either join the army or become a nun. So, I don't know where the nun thing came in. It's probably just from watching some movies. So yeah, then he came and we got together, and everything just went very rapidly. I joined the army and we got married, and then I was in for 5 weeks and he accidentally killed himself. And that was very traumatic. And I was still in basic training when it happened. And I also had gotten injured. I tore my Achilles tendon, and so I wasn't able to do much. And so they said that they would just honorably discharge me, and then if I ever wanted to rejoin the military, then I could. So a month goes by after he passed, and during that month, I tried to get my hands on any substance I could to help me feel something, to connect in the spirit realm. Like I was going to metaphysics shops, I was trying to find psychics, I was trying to find a way to still stay connected to my dead husband. And I tried doing drugs. I tried drinking as much as I could, all these things I hadn't done before. I just was doing everything I could for a whole month. And I just had become so broken, not only from losing him, but I also had humiliated myself by doing these things that I had sworn off, you know. And so my grandpa asked me if I wanted to go with him to the mountains to just get away from everything. And when I went, for some reason, I had packed a Bible that one of my high school best friends had given me. Her family were the only people that I can honestly say who actually told me the real gospel. I had my grandparents praying for me, and I am so thankful for them. And maybe they did tell me the gospel, and I know that they loved me. And I know now that I know the love of God. They did show me the love of Jesus many times. But back then, I don't know if it was just rebellion or what, but like I didn't see, but back then, I don't know if it was just rebellion or what, but like I didn't see the things that they were doing. So for me, there was this family, my friend's parents, and they were the only people that I had really met that like acted different than other Christians that I had met. And they just took me into their home. They didn't even want me to be friends with their daughter, but the Holy Spirit told them to let us be friends. And the mom had a similar background as my mom and myself. And so she just really opened up to me, and that helped me to open up to her. And so I love them a lot. And they got me this Bible. And so even though I was an atheist, when I needed just some kind of comfort, I would think of them. And that totally had to be a God thing because I would never open the Bible. I never looked at it, but I was going to the mountains and I just felt like I'm just going to bring it with me. And when I was there for a few days with my grandpa and just processing through all the stuff I was going through. We would sit out at the campfire every night and just talk about the craziest, weird things like owning planets and aliens and, you know, whatever. And there was this one conversation where we were talking about God, and I asked this question that was more of like a revelation. And I wish I could remember what it was, but all I remember is that when I said this and it was about God, there was a nebula explosion or like a star exploded in the sky and it got huge and bright and then it just disappeared. And that was really wild. And then the next day, I got a phone call from the military, and there was some really bad news, and it just broke me, and I just lost it. And so that whole day, I was really depressed. And then that night, I was sitting out under the stars, and I was just crying my heart out and just found myself saying, you know, why did this have to happen to me? Why did Eric have to die? Why did, and then I just became overwhelmed with all the horrible, evil things happening in the world to good people and, you know, things that nobody deserves. And then I just started cussing God out. Even though I didn't believe in him, I just like all this emotion just welled out of me. And I just started cursing at the sky, you know, and just saying, F you, I hate you. You can't be real. Look at this, look at that. Why this? Why that? And just blaming him for all the evil happening in the world and or blaming him for being horrible for not stepping in to do anything. I'm like, you can't be real because why does all this stuff happened. And anyways, in the midst of me cursing him, I hear this still small voice just speak, not audibly, but like within me say, if I'm not real, then why do you curse me? And in that moment, it was like my life flashed before my eyes, and I saw all these times where God had been there for me and how he stepped in for me. And then there was just this overtone, this powerful feeling of like him speaking that it was never his will for these things to happen to me. It's not his will for any of these things to happen, that God isn't the one doing these things. And just this love washed over me that was so tangible. And this peace washed over me. And I just felt his love like so deeply. And I had never felt this before. I did not grow up going to church. And so, like, I had nothing to play off on in my own mind. You know, I try to talk to other atheists and they just totally write off everything I say. Like, oh, you just had some kind of mental breakdown and something like that, you know? But so then what's really cool is like the next day, I just started hearing Holy Spirit. My grandpa asked if I wanted to go with him to go find this old gold mine, and he had been there many times. And so I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And we go, and then we get lost for 6 hours in the mountains. And when we finally find the house, I hear this still small voice again say, you said you wanted to see it all. And I just started crying because the day before my encounter with God, I was looking out at this mountain range and And I thought, man, it would be so cool to see all that and to just get lost out there. And then the next day, I literally got lost. And it was pretty hectic for a while until, we see the house. And then I hear God say that. And then it became a gift, and
That's why you have to be careful what you ask for. You ask for it.
Right. But then he shows us that he did give it to us. And then he shows us his heart behind it. And yeah, it was awesome. So from that point on, there's a lot more I can get into. I don't know where you want me to go from there, but that's basically what shifted there. And I started seeing a lot of miracles, prayers being answered. And oh, another big part of this whole journey, I'm sorry, is that I did start reading the Bible just here and there because my grandpa and the conversations we were having. And the few times that I randomly opened it up and read, I saw that Jesus was not the religious person that I had always thought that he was, but that it was actually the religious people that killed him. And that was a really eye-opening thing to realize. And he's like performing all these miracles for them and for other people. People are getting healed. It's like him healing the paralytic, and then the Pharisees get upset because the paralytic is holding his mat. So I started to find myself getting frustrated. And this was probably just a few days before this encounter. And I'd only looked it up like two times. And then the other time was some scriptures out of Job. And they were, about him losing everything. And I had lost everything. I was in so much debt, and then losing my husband, and then the debt that came from that. And like, he was my everything. And our dreams and our goals were very aligned. And so losing him meant that I lost all this, my career choices, and just so many things.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I also want to comment on something you've said earlier. I think some people watch too many vampire movies and TV shows and movies to think that they are reincarnated vampire. I think that's just so funny. And also listening to the story that you share reminds me of the story of Jesus with the woman at the well. It is just so sad because we know that there are so many people looking and longing for something, but they just doesn't turn to Jesus because that's the only thing that could fill our longing. Nothing else in this world can really give us that peace that we need in our life that could fill whatever that's missing. And we know that can only be found through Christ. I also thought that's interesting because normally 10 years old will be doing something else, and you are definitely doing something else at that time, right?
Yeah, I was doing a lot of things I should.
Like what you were doing. What were you doing again at 10 years old? Doing a lot of like satanic stuff already at that time, right?
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about the drawing that I did,
Yeah,
my
because I
self-portrait?
remembered you said like a drawing.
Yeah. In the 10th grade, we were supposed to do a surreal self-portrait, and my self-portrait, the way
What's a
I saw it,
self-portrait?
yeah, surreal self-portrait. So it has more scenery in it, just your face. And so I drew myself in the arms of this big demon, and I was asleep in his arms in this Renaissance dress. And this huge demon is holding me, and he's got these huge horns, and his tongue is curling out of his mouth and licking my neck, and I'm asleep there. But then, and we're on this crackled earth, dried up earth, and then around us is this dome, and on the outside of the dome are all of these beings of light. Like I could see all these, or I mean, what I drew were all these people shapes, but it was just light in darkness. And in my class, other people, they drew like, they drew themselves one with their music instrument. Like this one girl played violin, and she did this beautiful painting of her being like half of a violin. And then this other guy, he just painted all the time, and he painted himself like painting his world. And then here I am. It is so crazy. And then I made a lot of other dark art. It is really bizarre to me that my teachers never reached out to me to see if I needed counseling or something. Like,
I probably would be reaching out to you if I was one of the teachers. Like, I see it's understandable that maybe someone might be like drawing of Jesus is standing there and holding you, cradling you like a baby, but your drawing is completely opposite, something I could never think of.
said, oh, I like dark things. I did not, it did not penetrate me. It did not concern myself that this is how I chose to draw myself, but that drawing was so accurate.
I think it's also interesting because I've never heard it before, like what you mentioned, that there is such thing called mainstream Satanism. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that word. It's so deep. But yeah, like they have a moral code. And I'm sure you can guess, I'm leaving you with another cliffhanger. So make sure to follow us so you don't miss the rest of our really good conversation together. Thank you and stay blessed. And now let us reflect to everything we've heard and listen to this beautiful music from our Spotify sponsor. Take care and always remember, come to Jesus daily. Until next time.
So many lies that I believed. Got too weak to carry on. I thought that I was too far gone. But then I heard a voice from Calvary. And now I'm singing, no more shackles on my feet. The devil's got no hold on me. Got no hold on me.